Let's go to the Fidelity Communications hotline. We bring in Nate Allen. He joins us now. Nate, let me ask you, NFL draft, who goes first, Jeremy Sprinkle or Dietrich Wise?
Well, I know about as much about rocket science as I do the NFL draft, but I don't. That is so much dependent on needs. It's like who needs a tight end and who needs a defensive end. If I just had to guess, maybe I don't know. Really, that's a 50-50 coin flip. It all depends on the team and what they need at the stage of both those guys to be drafted.
That's why it's a good question, right? It's a tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and I think both those guys have a future in the NFL. Then again, they could get cut. You never know how all that turns out. But I think Sprinkle is a bona fide NFL tight end, and Dietrich Wise, you know, things didn't work out last year with the injuries and everything. But the way he played from about midseason 2015 on, I mean, he was as good as anybody in the league. And so I think he certainly, if he can stay healthy and consistent, I'd say both those guys have a chance to make it.
Nate, it sounded like yesterday, or maybe this week, is a week of experimenting. You got guys kind of moving around, trying different things. Is that a good way to describe what's going on this week?
Yeah, and I think that's true with just spring. That's what you got spring practice for, among other things. And you can move people around, and have guys switching from offense to defense, and it's the first time they can really evaluate guys that were on scout team the year before in the red shirts and all that, and just trying. You know, a guy like Jamario Bell, for instance, they just keep moving him around. He's like a square peg in a round hole. They know he's got talent, but they just can't seem to fit, you know, what his best position is. He's one of those kind of tweeners that's you know, too little too big for one position, a little too small for another, and they're just trying to, you know, fit some guys to see where they fit. But yeah, I'd say that's a very accurate, you know, what they're trying to do.
Any of them catch you off guard? Like you're like, okay, we'll see how that works.
Not really. I mean, you got guys like Josh Liddell. That makes sense. He's played mostly free safety, so you have him where, you know, last year they lost Kevin Richardson at nickel, and I think they like Andre Tolliver better as a corner than a nickel. So you try and find somebody else as a backup there, and you're mixing and matching and trying some things like T.J. Hammonds playing, you know, both receiver, but knowing he can play running back. That's really just kind of par for the spring course, just try and fit some people while you can. There's nobody, you're not going to lose a game while you're playing somebody out of position or trying to test them in a new position. So why not? It's the best time to do it.
What do you think the safety position looks like next season it's almost like a three-headed monster with Liddell and Coley and Santos Ramirez.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. Your fourth guy, you know, is basically a walk-on, Reed Miller, and so, you know, there's quite a drop-off, certainly in talent, or at least by recruited talent, you know, what you'd expect. And, you know, they're going to have to look to help from the recruiting class to I guess, Brown, the titled safety that they've got coming in. But, you know, you've got three that you know can play, or at least have played, and all three have done some good things, Santos Ramirez and Coley and Liddell. But, the depth is scary there, there's no question. Although I'll say this, you got Kevin Richardson healthy, and he's a glue for any fit in the secondary. The guy can play any position, and that was one they sorely missed last year. And I don't think people realize the impact, you know, losing him the very first game of the season was.
Yeah, and it sounds like to me he's found his spot, and that's that slot position.
Yeah, but he can play anywhere. I mean, if Tolliver goes down or Ryan Pulley goes down, he can, you know, they can plug him in a corner. And if any of those three go down at safety, he'll be over there. But yeah, I mean, nickel is where he, you know, is right now, for the most part. But they got him ready to go, and, you know, anywhere over there in the secondary.
I think this, the cornerbacks could be a strength of this team. When you look at, you mentioned Pulley and Andre Tolliver, Richardson as the third corner, and Coach was Coach Bielema Saturday was kind of talking about Brito Tutt and even Nate Dalton. Sounds like they've got a good, healthy competition going on.
Yeah, I've been just a little bit. I've seen a Brito Tutt in scrimmages. I've been impressed with him, and Dalton's been there a couple of years now, where he should be, you know, getting in more in the mix. And I thought Pulley was a fine cornerback last year. I thought he really came on into his own. So, and he got tested a lot because team, you know, they were not going to try on Jared Collins. They were going to go after the new guy. And I really thought Pulley did well. Their pass defense was fine last year. That wasn't the problem. It was 2 years ago, but last year they just couldn't stop the run.
I saw where McTelvin Aguim was working some at the nose. It sounds like to me that may be like a special package, like they used to do with the race car package, where they'd try to put in as much speed on third and long or obvious passing situations. What they're talking about?
Well, I think with him, he's your best defensive lineman. It kind of reminds me of back in the day with Billy Ray Smith Jr., where they, you know, he'd be an end one play, you know, play, and then put him at nose one play and the tackle and move them all around like an old shell game, just so that people couldn't key on him. And I think you're going to see that with Aguim. I mean, he's by far got the most big play potential of anybody in that defensive line. And so rather than just having him, you know, one spot where they know where he is, I think you're going to see them slide him around quite a bit. I think they got several different packages they're working on to try and make him where he's just not in a predictable spot. I mean, you'd like to be as good as, say, as in Alabama is. I mean, you'd line up in one defense and go, here, come get us. But although, obviously, against Clemson, their defense kind of, you know, didn't get the job done either. But when you got one guy that's clearly better than the rest, then you try and move him around a little bit where they, you know, offenses just can't key on them.
We're talking with Nate Allen. He joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Nate, I've been able to interview Michael Smith, the wide receiver coach. It was almost like we had a tradition. Every year he would come to the recruiting thing in the Rock, signing day in the Rock. We would talk, and you know, it went from he had a bunch of young wide receivers, and they got older and older. And then last year they were seniors, and you had Keon Hatcher and Cody Hollister and Drew Morgan. You know, he was telling us, you know, experience matters. They, once they know what they're supposed to do, it makes everybody's life a lot easier. Now he's starting back over, and from hearing from him last night, it's almost like, you know, 2-3 years ago when everybody was kind of hard on the wide receivers. People were talking about Michael Smith's job and was he a good wide receiver coach. It was just youth. Well, now it's kind of come full circle again. He's got a bunch of young guys.
Yeah, he does. He does have Jared Cornelius, and that's going to be, you know, the rock over there. Of course, he's had a hamstring right now, and I would doubt sincerely that play him in the spring game. But he's the one that's going to be the leader of that bunch. And then the rest, it's just kind of a you know, you got a couple of guys like Petway and Deion Stewart who played a little bit last year. Stewart played more than Petway did. And you got the two JUCO guys, Brandon Martin and Nance. And then one that's real up and down, but when he's up has looked very good, is Jordan Jones out of Smackover. You know, he had the first scrimmage. He caught like four passes for 99 yards, and then he whiffed the next week. So they're real up and down. As far as Michael Smith, I thought that was ridiculous, the criticism he had early. For one thing, he's been their lifeline in Louisiana. And for all the talk about Florida, I think Louisiana has been a better state to sort of recruit than Florida has been.
Yeah, and he's been doing a great job pulling in some of those kids from Louisiana, like Jared Cornelius. Nate, and we're talking with Nate Allen, what do you think Saturday with the spring game, what's going to happen? First of all, the weather looks like it could be an issue. What's the
weather doesn't look good at all. It doesn't look good. You know, it's going to be tough. It sure looks like with baseball that one of those games, one of those days, going to end up being a doubleheader. I don't know how. Of course, they're booked into, they're locked into 2 6 o'clock starts for the SEC Network on Thursday and Friday. But boy, just that forecast for Saturday just looks awful. And it poured down rain here. I barely slept last night because of all the thunder and lightning. It was just constant. And that's going to be interesting. In the spring game, I mean, football, you play it unless it lightnings. If it's lightning, all bets are off. But, I mean, they'll play it if at all possible. But I think it'd be one you'll really see them try and get it over with quick if the weather's lousy. And I basically think that the spring games anymore, they're more of a show for the fans. You get on TV with them, but then they're afraid to show anything when they're on TV. And I think it almost shows, the spring practice, 15 days, is almost too many of it because your rosters are limited and you're fretting injuries and that's why you'll see, like, they'll play for a real half, and then you'll see, a lot of guys, out of uniform that second half on Saturday, I bet.
Would you like to see, and I've thrown this around, we've talked about it before, how about a scrimmage, because I think spring practice has run its course. I don't even know how excited the fans are about spring practice. It's on TV. I think we've learned we're not going to see a whole lot. What if the NCAA gave them like a 16th practice and you could have a scrimmage, like Tulsa. You could go over there for one day, scrimmage them, and then they come over here and scrimmage at Razorback Stadium. How about bringing that back?
I don't know. That's, because it sure would start putting a big emphasis on winning, and you'd have the team that got beat in a scrimmage It'd be a long summer. Of course, we already know how long it is here after the disastrous ending to this season. I'm not sure that's a good idea or not. I mean, yeah, it adds some excitement and all, but then the whole purpose of spring practice is just to try and get your team better and to have it under the pressure where you're not playing games and where you can do the experimenting we talked about. And I just know, even though it's a scrimmage, there would be the pressure on teams to win. I mean, I remember when Arkansas, just going back to basketball, they lost that first game in Spain, and God, you'd get on the message board and you'd fire Mike Anderson because they lost an exhibition game, for God's sake. So I don't know. I'm not sure that'd be a good idea. I think it just just kind of stoke the madness, I think.
Nate, it's always a pleasure. I'm glad to have you on. Take care. Hey, two more of these spring practices, and it's all over.
I'm about ready for it to be over.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Wes.